And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Rock God Rick Mexa. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here right next to the San Diego Landings in Point Loma, and we have a great guest for you today. Mr. Todd Sweet is here, Marine Surveyor, Marine Investigator, and author of a great book, Rockin' the Boat. So we're going to be talking a lot about that and more. You stay tuned. This is Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Sports Grid Radio Network, YouTube, and Facebook Live.
Hey, San Diego, we want you to start every day with the charge you need. So your San Diego County Ford dealers are giving you this home charger and covering the cost of standard installation. 24/7 live support, the Ford Power Promise. With a brand new 2024 Mustang Mach-E or a 2024 F-150 Lightning, you can have electric vehicle confidence from day one. Only at your San Diego County Ford dealers, they'll be glad to hook you up.
Been thinking of purchasing a new outboard? Don't delay and purchase a brand new Yamaha outboard and a great deal during Yamaha's Why Wait for Spring sales event. From now until December 6, 2024, eligible new 25 to 2.5 horsepower outboards come with up to $500 in dealer credit. New Yamaha 450 to 425 horsepower outboards include 7 years of coverage protection, and new 350 to 30 horsepower outboards come with 6 years of coverage protection. No need to delay during Yamaha's Why Wait for Spring sales. Sales event. Visit your local Yamaha dealer today. Yamaha, reliability starts here. Offer ends December 6, 2024. Subject to change, other restrictions and conditions apply. Sport models excluded. New 2.5 to 25 horsepower four-stroke outboards is dealer credit up to $500 based on horsepower. Ford's MSRP value of goods and or services purchased at the authorized participating dealer that sold the outboard. And no extra cost to the consumer. New 425 to 450 horsepower is the 24-month Yamaha extended added 60-month factory limited warranty. New 30 to 350 horsepower is the 36-month Yamaha extended service added to 36-month factory limited warranty. The authorized participating Yamaha upward dealer for detail. Cannot be used for any other Yamaha.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. What a fun show today is going to be with Todd.
Yeah,
kind of an interesting take.
A different
on
twist.
Yeah, totally. I'm pumped, and I can only imagine a lifetime of marine surveyor and investigator, all of the goods, the bad, the ugly, yeah, the fun. I'm really looking forward to it. I think today's going to be a lot of fun.
He's like the Columbo of marine, the marine world, right? Good morning, Todd.
Good morning. How are you?
And, of course, you're welcome. We'd love to have you. So this is the book. You can see on YouTube and Facebook Live. Here, let me switch the cameras here.
Yeah.
That would help, right? You can actually see it. You could see actually on the outdoor camera. There's not a lot of action at the San Diego Landings these days.
I was joking with Pete during the break. You always talk about the world headquarters is the busy landings in Point Loma. It's not a busy day.
Not a busy day.
Nice.
Yeah, you saw
nice
by the
mellow
cameras there.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day.
Angler left yesterday. We had a big long range day the day previous to that. You know, four boats going. Lots of long range trips. Very good fishing on the long range trip
this
year.
Yeah.
But both a mix of that big tuna that's biting on the lower banks and also that really good yellowfin tuna that we had all year that's kind of slid down a little further, and still some wahoo. So some very good long-range fishing going on, but, yeah, a little bit starting to get a little bit quiet
a little
on the local
quiet. Yeah, no, but as you saw from that, but there's high action in the studio here.
Big time.
Studio camera. Todd, welcome, and tell us about your book. What caused you to write this book, Rockin' the Boat, Adventures of a Marine Investigator?
Well, I've been at this a long time.
Yeah.
And coming from a background of boat building, I wound up in a spot where I had to get out of the boat yard business because of the toxic chemicals that affected me. And somebody suggested that with my background, I'd probably make a pretty good marine surveyor. So I went around and knocked on all the doors, and everybody said, no. We don't need anybody right now.
Including Ken Frankie's dad.
Including Ken Frankie's
really?
Dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And but I wound up with a fellow named Tony Tillett, who is the Lloyd's of London agent down at the 10th Avenue Terminal. And Tony was this British guy, and he was quite a character. And he said, well, matey, I suppose I can take you in here, you know, and I'll teach you big ships. And I said, well, I'll develop a yacht business and small sport fishing boat business for you, because that's my background. And that turned into an eight-year stint with Captain Tillett.
Cool.
And then I opened my own business in 1992 and decided to focus primarily on insurance claims work.
Interesting.
Accident and damage investigations, sinkings, fires, collisions, explosions.
So not so much marine survey, but more investigation for insurance purposes.
Yeah, well, it evolved into the investigation part of it. You have to get grounded as a surveyor. You have to do the condition valuation work to understand what it is that you're looking at. And over time, I got to a spot where I said, I'm going to all these seminars and getting educated and getting all this training and all these other disciplines. We're going to focus on insurance claims work. So that's the direction that the company went, and it kind of mushroomed out into stolen boat investigations, and then I discovered infrared thermography and started doing infrared thermography on composite boats.
What is infrared thermography?
Right. Well, you guys are familiar with FLIR cameras.
Sure.
So I could tell you long stories about how I got into it, but suffice it to say that
read the book, you can find out.
There's a good couple of good stories in there about infrared, but what I discovered was that instead of taking a hammer and tapping on the laminate like you see surveyors and boatyards do all the time, that you could use an infrared camera and look right through the laminate, right through the composite. Mm-hmm. And what made it different was that when the equipment got cheap enough so that it was handheld, I was one of the first adopters of that, an old Raytheon IR camera that was colorized. Infrared is black and white typically, but Raytheon colorized it. So all of a sudden you could visually see what the delaminations were and what the water intrusion was and what have you. So I started going around the country to surveyor conferences and marine investigator conferences and touting the wonders of infrared thermography, inadvertently teaching all of my competitors.
So, like, wait a minute.
So as the technology developed and the cameras got cheaper, I kept upgrading to a better quality camera to stay in front of the curve. And it was just quite an interesting ride, because that thermography took me all around the country.
But from an industry where guys were literally knocking on the side of a hull with a hammer, to now you're using high-end technology and spotting exactly where the problem is. You're not missing any one little thing. You're finding exactly all those things.
Well, the technology is really good at that sort of stuff. The primary reason I focused on it was that we were seeing boat yards. Let's say your boat had an accident. You ran into a pier and you caved the bow in or something like that, or another boat. What the boat yards were doing at the time was, well, we've got to take the whole interior out of the boat in order to find the damage.
Right.
So a one-foot hole suddenly became a $50,000 removal expense. So I started looking at it with the infrared, and we could literally see how far the delamination or the disbonding went. So we take a grease pencil and map it out on the hull of the boat to give the boatyard a map as to how far they need to cut.
Yeah. Now, you were telling me about tapping the you were just talking about tapping the hull and checking out things like that. You were talking about how some marine surveyors don't really know what they're doing when it comes to tapping the hull, right?
Well, I don't want to disparage those guys, except that if you're just walking around the boat kind of banging on it with a hammer and using audio as your source for your information, you're missing the whole tactile information that comes when you put your hand on the hull of the boat and tap it, because you can feel it with your fingers. So if there's a disbond, you can feel it over here. If you think you're going tap, 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 thud, thud, thud.
Yeah.
The question is, how far does the thud go?
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have your hand on it when you're doing it, you really don't.
You're just getting part of the picture.
You're getting half of the information.
Yeah, that's interesting. So in the book, Rocking the Boat, I mean, first I want to throw out a big thank you to our listener, and I apologize. I don't remember who it was. It was one of our regular listeners, and thank you for introducing me the book and Todd. And he wrote and he said, hey, and this just shows you, I listen to you guys when you send emails to me and say, hey, I think this guy would make a great guest. And one of our listeners, and if you want to send us a text through the Let's Talk Hookup app and tell us, yeah, that was me. Thank you very much for introducing me to Todd. And because I've been enjoying the book, first of all, because there's some fascinating stories. But some of the stories involve a lot of people that a lot of us know right here.
Yeah.
Like Bob Butler right here.
Really?
From, and
Big Rob.
Big Rob. Yeah.
Big Rob.
But a lot of good stuff. But one of the most fascinating, well, not, they're all fascinating. There's a lot of stories. One of the ones that was just like, oh my God, did you really do this? Was when you went to Puerto Vallarta and to the El Cid, and you had a little confrontation maybe with some connected people down there, right?
Yeah, I've had a lot of adventures like that.
Yeah, in Mexico.
In Mexico,
I mean, and that's the unbelievable thing to me is that you do these, you take on these duties down in Mexico, and it's like, are you out of your mind?
Well, in hindsight, as I was putting the book together and recalling these stories, I can't believe I actually did that.
Yeah. So the one at El Cid in Mazatlan, you were running down a supposedly stolen boat.
Yeah,
so go and tell us about that.
Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah, Puerto Vallarta, excuse me.
And it's a great story. It's much more involved than what I put in the book.
Yeah.
But in a nutshell, a guy reported his boat stolen down in Puerto Vallarta.
Remember what kind of boat it was?
It was a 48-foot Carver or something like that. It was a power boat. It was an older yacht. And reported it stolen. Well, of course, who's going to steal an old power boat?
Yeah.
That's question number one that comes up. So the insurance company hires us to investigate it. We did one of our stolen boat wanted posters and sent it out by facsimile, and the phone rang almost immediately. And there's this guy on the other end. He says, oh, senor, I know where that boat is, but I need that $20,000 reward. Yeah, well, no recovery, no reward. But if you know where the boat is, I'll come see you. So I called the insurance company, and they said, yeah, like, get on an airplane, go run that down. So I get down to the Puerto Vallarta Marina, and I'm looking for a guy named Pepe. I have no idea who Pepe is.
Right.
So I'm kind of pawing through the marina. It turns out he was the dock master.
Ah.
Yeah.
So I go in there, and I introduce myself, and I held up the poster. He says, oh. And he goes and he turns the closed sign on the door. He says, come with me to the back room. So we go in the back room. He says, I know where that boat is, but I need the money. And I said, no, doesn't work that way. So we kind of went back and forth for a little while. And eventually I said, look, How about if I give you $1,000 to rent a Ponga so that I can drive around the area by water? And he says, okay, fine. So I peeled off some hondos. And
you're packing this reward money in cash down there.
Well, you never take the reward money with you. The reward is only for the safe recovery of the boat.
That boat's tied back up Shelter Isle, and then he gets paid.
Yeah, and once that boat's recovered and it's secured, then the reward is in play. But until the boat is actually recovered safely.
Yeah.
So if it's stripped, you're not getting the full reward. So I get in this Ponga, and I'm kind of cruising around the marina. I don't see anything, and I go back to this little kind of cove where there's a condo complex. And I turn the corner to get in there, and I see the boat.
Clear as day.
There it is.
There it is. So I drive down to it, and I noticed right out of the box it was chained to the dock. Well, that's odd. So I tie the Ponga up, and I get out with my camera, and my job is to look at the hull ID number and confirm that that's the boat that we're looking for.
This isn't the same model. This is the one.
Yeah. So I get on the dock with my camera, and I'm taking pictures of the hull ID number on the transom, and all of a sudden, four guys come out of this condominium with, sport coats on, bulges under their arm.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going, well, okay. So I'm holding the water poster up, and I said, this boat is stolen. Who's the owner? Who owns this condo? I need to run the, I'm being not aggressive, but I want the information.
Yeah.
And they go, no. And the finger starts going in my chest, and they literally backed me up to the end of the dock, grabbed the flyer from me, grabbed my camera from me, and pushed me into the water. And so I went, you could see the guns under their arms.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I don't want anything. Yeah.
So I swam across the little cove to the condo manager's office.
Fortunately, didn't get eaten by a crocodile.
Yeah. No, exactly. So I go into the condo manager's office, and this nice little guy sitting there, and I said, I need to know who owns that condo. He says, oh, senor, no. These are really bad men. Really bad men. And I said, well, let's call the police. He said, no. The police know the owner of this boat. You're in trouble. And he says, I tell you, if they send somebody with a car, do not get in the car. I said, why? He said, because in Mexico, in this place, if you have a problem, you are the problem.
Uh-huh. So what ended up happening?
Well, as I'm talking to him, sure enough, here comes a local police car cruising down the street. And now I'm getting a little nervous.
Yeah.
And I'm dripping wet.
Yeah.
And I thought, I need to get out of here.
So
I used his phone, and I called a contact that I happened to have in my pocket. I had just done a job with the Coast Guard Special Investigations Office in Los Angeles. I happened to have this guy's card. I called him on the phone, and I said, look, I'm standing here. Here's the deal. I've got this stolen boat. He says, I could hear him clacking on his keys. He says, listen to me very carefully. You need to go back to your hotel as soon as you can, get out of Dodge, put your head down in the cab, and take the next airplane to anywhere in the United States.
Get out of there. And that's what you did, right?
That's what I did.
That's exactly what you did.
Hot-footed it down the back alleys. Got to unfortunately, it was only a couple of blocks to the hotel.
Don't mess with that one.
Threw everything in the bag, called my wife, and I said, look, I'm getting out of Dodge. I'm going to take the next plane to anywhere.
And you're probably here because of that.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
I am. What a story.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's just one of the stories that's in there. It's like there, and of course, he goes into more detail, but as I say, there's more detail that you know. But there's lots of great stories. I mean, we'll get into a few of them here and there, but as you can hear, we have a great show lined up for today. Todd's a wealth of knowledge. You want to ask him about how to take care of your boat.
That's
this is
I'm
the guy,
saying,
right?
Yeah. You talk about somebody who has a lifetime of boats and seeing problems and seeing benefits and knowing what helps a boat to sail, knowing what stops a boat from sailing. I mean, a lifetime of investigation of boating.
Yeah.
How cool to have Tom.
Yeah,
this
for sure. Great show for you today.
No doubt. It's going to have a lot of fun. And if you want to join us, man, we want to hear from you. Give us a call this morning at 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090 is our phone number. If you want to reach us on the phones or send us a text. Already have had several really good text message questions come through. And if you want to do that, that's only available through our Let's Talk Hookup app. That's a free download, easy to find, and it's such an easy way to listen to Let's Talk Hookup. All of the shows are archived on there. You can listen on your way to work. You can Todd passes out some killer little bit of boat info, and you want to go back and check it out. All of the shows are archived on that Let's Talk Hookup app. And again, it's the only way to send in your text message questions. Make sure you include your contact info as well, a name and a phone number, because if you win the big prize at the end of the show, we want to make sure to get it to you. And what a fun prize we have today. One lucky caller or texter is going to win a copy of Todd's great book, Rockin' the Boat, in a great boat, as you can see it on the camera here, Todd holding it up. And in addition to that copy of the book, you're also going to get to go fishing on a full-day trip on board the Liberty at a Fisherman's Landing. What a killer prize for one lucky caller.
How about that?
Or
a little
texter.
Double prize there.
You got it. And we're going to determine the winner as we do with our prize coin at the end of the show, and we'll have one potential winner from all the callers that make it on the air, one potential winner from all the text messages that get read on the air, and then we'll determine who's going to win that by the flip of the coin. And when we come back, we got a lot of Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. We're going to be taking your phone calls, we're going to be reading your texts, we're going to be getting catch reports and more. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. This is Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Hi, this is Chrissy Wheeler with Dawson & Associates Insurance, your full-service agency specializing in boat insurance, including charter, commercial, and personal use boats, business insurance, and travel insurance. We work hard to get you the most coverage for the best prices and guarantee the lowest rates available on all the travel plans we offer. So give us a call today at Dawson & Associates Insurance at 619-460-5615 for a free quote today.
It's time for the Power Pro 30-Second Seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with Power Pro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard Power Pro, so you get more line on that small reel. Power Pro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand-new Power Pro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. The quality of the captains and crew, as well as the great meals and service, speak for themselves. Comfortable staterooms, a super clean and well taken care of boat, are just a few of the reasons the Islander is so popular. The Islander specializes in 1.5 to 5 day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit IslanderSportFishing.com.
Give your boat the love it deserves and install a custom sea deck kit from Blue Seas Fabrication. Blue Seas is the West Coast's only certified sea deck fabricator and installer. Sea deck upgrades the look and feel of any boat, old or new. Sea deck non-skid decking adds comfort, convenience, safety, and value. Let the experts from Blue Seas Fabrication custom fit your deck, bridge, and interiors with stylish, durable, stain-resistant, and easy-to-clean sea deck. Check BlueSeasFabrication.com and enhance your fishing experience.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day and full-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com, where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Again, having a great time here this morning with Todd. Lots of fun, lots of info. Phone calls are already pouring through. Text as well. Again,
yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun and a different twist to the show, but something that we all do so much of. It's going to be really cool.
Yeah, super fun. Todd's endless storyteller, I can tell you that. But let's talk for a minute about what causes problems in boats? I mean, you look at the marina here, look at a lot of boats on the trailers and stuff. One of the biggest things, the worst thing for a boat, I'm guessing, would be sitting, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah.
The biggest source of insurance claims that we get are people that haven't used the boats.
Yeah.
Oh. Then they come down and they're all... They've got the cooler, and they've got their sandwiches, and the family's all set and ready to go, and they get on it, and they turn the key, and it goes click.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know what happened. It worked perfect when I parked it.
Yeah. Like a year ago.
Yeah. A year ago, exactly.
Last 4th of July, it was perfect. It's
yeah.
Not
yeah.
That's exactly the problem, is lack of use.
Yeah.
You know, you need to exercise the equipment, exercise the machinery,
yeah.
Change, you know, the water in the tank. The fuel, and you need to burn that fuel out. We were talking briefly about fuel problems,
right.
And the gasoline blend, specifically in California,
yeah.
But it's everywhere now. They've added so many chemicals to the fuel to make it clean, a burn cleaner, that it, if it sits in the tank, it phase separates.
Uh-huh.
So the chemicals actually can be seen if you put them in a mason jar or something like that and look at them. They'll actually separate. So the alcohol blend goes to the bottom. So you come down to your boat, you go to use it. It sucks from the bottom of the tank.
Sure.
Now you're burning alcohol straight through the system.
And not only that, but it degrades hoses. I mean, all kinds of stuff.
All kinds of stuff happens.
So how do you avoid these things?
Use your boat.
That's the key.
If
you use the boat, all these problems go away.
Well, you should at least start it, run it up to temperature on a fairly regular basis, once a month, once every 2 months, you know, at the max.
Right.
You just
what if it's on a trailer at home? Same thing?
Same thing with respect to the fuel.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It sits under your driveway.
Yeah.
And
I mean, we're getting to the time of year where people maybe start to use their boats a little bit lesser. Hopefully not. Hopefully they take advantage of the good halibut fishing or the good bay fishing. But this is the time of year where the private boat on the trailer starts to get used a little bit less. You gotta ear muff it. You gotta hose connect to it. Whatever it is, you gotta keep things lubed up and running.
You gotta keep them running and exercise them. That's the most important thing is use your boat.
Yeah, use your boat. One of the unbelievable things, and when you read the book, you'll realize this, how many crooks get away with stuff when it comes to insurance fraud. It blows my mind.
Oh, I need an example now.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
Yeah.
Todd?
No doubt.
You've seen it all, right?
I've seen a lot of... people ask me this question all the time. You know, what percentage of insurance claims involve fraud?
Get a little closer to that mic.
And the answer to that is it depends on what kind of fraud you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, the most common is I need to bury my deductible. You know, they go to the shop, say, well, I got a $500 deductible. Can you add that into the estimate?
Right. Right.
That's the most, and we call that soft fraud.
Soft fraud.
But the other kinds of fraud get a little deeper.
Yeah.
You know, they get a little more devious.
Like when somebody sinks their boat in deep water and there's no recovery, right?
Lots of sinkings.
Yeah.
Lots of sinkings.
Sometimes you have to prove it, right? You have to prove there was fraud.
Yeah, that's the problem.
So the key is if you're going to do fraud and you're going to sink your boat, just make sure it's deep enough and that the boat doesn't float,
that's
right?
Yeah, and there's a couple of stories in there about how people have decided to make their old 60s vintage Chris Craft Constellation disappear.
Yes.
You know, that's got liens on it at the marina.
Right.
Like, we're not going to check to see whether or not you've got outstanding invoices.
Yeah.
You know, and you just start out sinking it in 1,200 feet of water, but they don't consider the tidal swing, you know, the wind and the waves
set.
The drift.
That it might be a wooden boat and float.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, you got a cork.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to be pretty efficient about it. So,
yeah.
We've had a couple of them where they started in 1,200 feet of water and they wound up in 450 feet of water.
Yeah. And that's easy recovery.
Well, not easy recovery, but it's certainly investigatable.
Yeah. And what's unbelievable to me, too, in reading the stories, is how to what length the insurance companies will go to prove that this fraud.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to do this recovery, right?
Wow.
Well, they'll spend that kind of money if they feel that there is a breach of the policy. And the core of that is there's always exclusions in everybody's policy. And nobody reads the exclusions.
Right.
Nobody reads the coverages.
Right.
They shop premiums.
Mm-hmm.
I want the cheapest policy because insurance.
Right.
Everybody hates insurance companies.
Right.
Right. So they don't want to spend that money. So they think that their premium goes into a savings account that they think is a repair account.
Yeah.
Right? Not how it works.
Yeah.
So if we suspect that there's some nefarious thing going on, depending on who the insurance company is. A lot of insurance companies these days just go, you know what? I don't want to bother.
Yeah. It's not worth the hundreds of thousands of dollars that we need to spend to figure this policy out. Let's just pay them.
Well, and it really started during COVID.
Uh-huh.
Two things actually triggered this. Insurance companies started to go what's called a all-risk policy. So an all-risk policy means you're covered for pretty much everything,
yeah,
with the exception of that exclusion paragraph.
Uh-huh.
You know, which
right,
is always in there.
So. And today, you need to read that inclusion paragraph because most boat insurances today do not cover Mexico.
Wow.
They used to cover down to Punta Banda.
Right, exactly.
You've got to make sure. Like, for example, I had insurance with Boat US,
mm-hmm,
and they don't cover into Mexico unless you call them every time you go down there. And
right,
say, I'm going,
here.
Yeah. So you need to make sure that if you're going to the Coronado Islands or you're going out,
sure,
you're not necessarily covered in Mexico.
And something that you took for granted years ago.
Yeah. And now that's changed in the last couple of years.
Okay. That's a shift in the industry.
There's
been this huge consolidation since COVID.
Yeah.
So you had all these venture capitalists coming in, buying different insurance companies and putting them under new umbrellas, and everybody tightened their policies up. Tighten their limits. And that's what
right,
you're referring to as a limit of navigation.
Yes.
And that's in everybody's policy.
Yeah.
You know, you're insured while you're navigating in
these
waters. I had a claim yesterday, a fire down in Cabo. And I looked at the declarations policy, and the limit of navigation is Rio Santo Tomas.
Right, which is just south of Ensenada, right?
Yeah. I go, whoa, are we going to have a problem?
Yeah. No coverage.
Yeah.
No coverage for you.
You know, and I don't get into coverages.
Sure, that's not your job.
I don't read the policies. All we do is gather facts.
Yeah.
You know, information and facts.
Yeah, that's what an investigator does.
Yeah.
Well, hey, phones are packing up.
Yeah.
You want to get through 213-432-1090. Texts are coming through. Why don't we do it, Rick?
You got it. Why don't we start it off with the phones? And Brady, who's calling us from Newport this morning. Brady, good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, guys. How's it going? How's it going,
Great.
Todd?
Hello.
Really informative. Maybe back to the Marty Milner days. Like, I mean, sometimes we get insurance guys, but this is really informative. Now, when I looked up, I thought it might have been MLPA related, Marine, but that's a different story. But I'll ask Todd about this. In 1963, my dad's buddy and his son built a concrete hull sailboat for troll fishing. Would you have tapped on that hull and said it was okay? Because they sank that sucker. They sank that sucker out past 8 Mile in Santa Barbara Harbor, and they didn't return. They were archy-toothies, what do you think about a concrete hull?
Well, that was the ferro cement era.
Right.
And the problem with ferro
cement. Short-lived era.
Yeah, the backyard ferro cement era is what we called it. And the problem is that ferro cement, easy to use, easy to work with. Everybody thought that was, a great, quick, cheap solution. The problem was that when you lay it up with chicken wire as your structural backbone, concrete's porous.
Sure.
So the chicken wire starts to dissolve and corrode and then cracks to concrete. You know, and all of those boats, it's kind of phased out of the fleet.
I'm sure.
Yeah. And once you start cracking concrete, it doesn't float very well.
I didn't know that was a thing ever.
Ferrous cement?
Yeah.
That was an era there.
I don't know that.
Yeah. It was, you know, because you think about it, it's like you lay some chicken wire, you blow concrete onto a form and stuff. Yep. Easy peasy,
sure.
Right? Super strong. For a little while, right?
Yeah, well, they were all backyard boats.
I don't have a backyard in you know, shipbuilding.
Yeah.
But I've heard of most of the things. I didn't know that concrete.
That was a thing.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. Not too much anymore.
From my perspective, I'm glad most of those boats have aged out.
Yeah.
Because they're always a headache if they sink, and they're pretty much not insurable anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not in the underwriting business, but I kind of doubt that anybody's insurance. Sink, that's a pollution problem.
Yeah.
That's a salvage problem.
Sure.
That's a very expensive, costly problem.
Yeah. I have a great text here from Matt, and he says, morning guys, great show. Question for Todd, besides getting a boat surveyed for sale, would you survey to check conditions of a boat done on a regular basis? Would that be called a survey? So if you own a boat and, you know, it's a little older, would you hire a surveyor to just kind of check the condition out and make sure everything's up for...
Yeah, it depends on the boat owner's level of knowledge and his familiarity with systems and equipment on the boat. If you don't feel comfortable, then by all means, hire a qualified surveyor. It should be a member of the National Association of Marine Surveyors, NAMS, or SAMS, the Society of Accredited Marine Surveyors. They need to be accredited and credentialed.
Now, your company, your son actually does marine survey, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the name of the company?
Todd and Associates.
Todd and Associates.
Todd
very
and
appropriate.
Very complicated.
And you're located right at Shelter Island Boatyard or Safe Harbor
Safe
Boatyard
Harbor
and Shelter
Boatyard on Shelter Island.
On Shelter Island, yeah.
Yeah.
So if you want a good surveyor, I'd say he'd probably taught his son a couple of tricks.
Lifetime of knowledge, I think that's a good mentor, for sure.
We also have a couple other guys and a lot of associates scattered around the country that we work with. But Bill Trenkel works in my office. He's a marine engineer. I spent 23 years in the America's Cup with Dennis Connor.
Yeah.
So he was in charge of all their boat building programs and what have you. So he's taken to the infrared equipment, looking at all the carbon fiber high-end racing boats.
You know what's fascinating about it? This guy's done it all. We had a conversation in his office, which is very interesting in itself, seeing all the different pictures, about his boat building experience with Carl Eichenlaub, one of the legends of sailboats.
Yeah.
You worked for Carl?
I did.
For many years, right?
Yeah. I actually came to California driving a flatbed truck.
From Cleveland, Ohio.
From Cleveland, Ohio.
Throwing it out to my brother-in-law, John.
With a 55-gallon drum of gasoline and a 55-gallon drum of acetone strapped to the back of this Ford cab forward flatbed during the first Iranian gas shortage in 1973. They couldn't get acetone or gasoline out here. So Carl's partner was my parents' next-door neighbor, also happened to be the guy that taught me how to sail when I was a kid. He saw me in the backyard visiting my folks, said, "You ever been to California?" I said, "No." He said, "How'd you like to drive a truck out there?" Well, okay. So at 52 miles an hour in this old Ford flatbed, we chugged across the country.
You were carrying a bomb, basically.
Carrying a bomb. Two bombs. I was 23 years old at the time and, you know, didn't give a second thought to the cargo.
Let's go.
California, you bet. Land of the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
Let's go. And I pulled into his yard.
Which was where?
Eichenlaub Boatyard at the time was right next to where the Red Sails used to be. Red Sails restaurant. Now the Ketch restaurant.
Okay.
So it's
that was the Eichenlaub Boatyard.
Right on Shelter Island.
Right on Shelter Island. And right next door where that big A-frame is was Hawthorne Marine, where they were building the Hawthorne powerboats. And then to the other side, there was Kettenberg Marine that was building wooden sailboats. And then right next down the street was Mauricio's. And Mauricio's was building aluminum net skiffs for the tuna fleet. And then And then Driscoll's was building sailboats, and Kohler's was building powerboats. So this whole neighborhood.
And then on this side of the marina where we're sitting right now was what?
Rask Shipyard.
Rask Shipyard.
Yeah, R-A-S-K. Rask Shipyard serviced the wooden tuna boat fleet, the bait boat.
Yeah,
fleet. Yeah.
Yeah, and they had been here forever. When I first came...
This is like in the 70s you're talking about.
Yeah, early 70s. Yeah. When I first came to town during that period of time, at Christmas time, you could drive down the Embarcadero and the tuna fleet would come in and was literally stacked six deep, rafted up for the holidays. You know, and of course, when they started counting porpoises and the porpoise kills that killed the tuna fleet.
Right.
They all offshore registered, and everybody moved out of town. Killed the tuna packing industry, killed the whole industry.
Yeah, yeah. It was the largest tuna fleet in the world was correct. Located here in San Diego.
Yeah.
And who knows that the boats were all built right here, right?
Yeah.
Right where we're sitting right now in the world headquarters.
Well, some of them were built
Some
here.
Of them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Cool.
You have a great test, huh?
So, yeah, it says my boat's 21 years old. I have an aluminum gas tanks, which are buried below deck. How would you determine if and when they needed to be replaced without ripping up the deck? That's from Rob in Seal Beach.
Okay, Rob. So the deal is that a lot of small boats have fuel tanks that are placed in the bilge without access. And the problem is if you have any water in your bilge, salt water in particular, in your bilge, you have about an 80 to 90% chance that you're going to have a corrosion problem with that fuel tank. I had to replace the fuel tank in my Bayliner 28. I had a 28-foot trophy. And one day I'm out fishing and smelled gas. And what the heck is going on? Open the compartment, look down. Here I've got 10 gallons of gas in my bilge.
Ooh.
And that's because a lot of builders put these aluminum fuel tanks in the bilge. If they get wet with salt water,
it's gonna happen. You
have a problem. So you have to periodically try to get in there. And I, would suggest that you flush your bilge with salt away every now and then, once or twice. If you've got a lot of water in there, get some salt away and mix it up and just flood the bilge with the salt away and get rid of the salt.
The salt water that's in there.
If you can.
Yeah, that's a good tip.
Yeah, very good tip.
Yeah, for sure.
Would you say that that's kind of the Achilles heels, the Achilles of some of the, some of the older boats? If a guy was wanting to do a survey and a situation like Rob was in, is that one of the main things that can and does go bad if you're purchasing a used boat?
No doubt. Corroded aluminum fuel tanks is also one of the big problems. So as the fleet ages out, those aluminum fuel tanks get subjected to more and more salt water.
And then also maybe another question, and I know your job is to find the issues, not to fix them, but is that an issue that is, that is, okay, we should walk away from this project, or is it it's going to cost us a couple thousand bucks, but it's very fixable and it's not the end of the world?
Yeah, a lot of people panic when they have a corroded fuel tank, and rightly so, because they've now got a bomb in the bilge. But you can neutralize that. You get some CO2 and flood the bilge and put some inert gas in there and get rid of the explosion problem and then discharge the fuel. Take the deck off. Usually there's screw-on hatches over.
Right.
Sometimes it gets complicated because you've got a center console sitting on top of your hatch.
Sure, it's not a small project.
Not a small project, but it's worth doing if you like your boat. And if it's a reliable boat, with the exception of that, it's probably worth doing.
There you go. Let's jump into the phones.
You got it. How about this time we talk to Peggy calling us from San Clemente this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning. Thanks for having us on.
Hey, Paige.
Hey, good morning. Oh.
Did you have a question?
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very loud
so
and clear.
My dad's been... Okay, perfect. So my dad's been listening to your guys' show for as long as I can remember. The two of us are headed down right now to Point Loma. We're going out on the new Loanne, and we're hoping to get some advice on what lures to use or what we might expect to catch out there.
Well, that's awesome, Paige. How long is the trip that you guys are going on?
We're going until Monday morning. We're going to be coming back.
Okay. So there has...
3.5
Yeah. And you, one, as I'm sure you know, and it sounds like you and Dad have been doing this for a long time, but what a great boat. And those guys have been at the forefront.
Adam is the killer.
He really is. Yeah,
yeah. Right.
And it'll be interesting to see what you do, because there are a couple of things at play. There is still good bluefin fishing to be had, although not as consistent as it was. There has been some very good scores as of late out to the west, and that fish has mostly been caught on fly line, kind of typical bluefin, lighter line, smaller hooks, kind of stealth fishing, a lot of 25 through 40 pound line size, and a small, like a Gamakatsu number 2 or even a number 4 hook, and a lot of that bluefin has been in the school size range, 20 to 40 pounds. The other option that's at play is the larger yellowfin tuna, but that's starting to get a long ways down the beach. You know, as the year continues to lengthen, that fish is sliding farther and farther south. So that would be like the little more high risk, but also high reward. If you guys find it, it's a larger grade fish. And again, mostly that's been sardine fishing, with a little bit heavier line, 40 to maybe 60 pound.
But it sounds like with a day and a half, that's a little out of range now.
Would,
so most likely
so.
You're headed out to Cortez or Tanner Bank and that area, that general zone,
yep.
And catching bluefin.
And then the benefit
on a small hook.
Exactly. And then the benefit of doing that is, you know, whether you guys get lucky and get fixed up with your bluefin early, or if you need to pivot because it's not been great fishing, then you're in really good position for that excellent rock cod fishing. You could maybe go into one of the islands and do some beach fishing. So, I mean, a great time and a great direction on a boat like the New Loanne. I mean, Pete, you said it best. Adam Williams, those guys are absolute killers. So,
for sure.
A great trip in front of you, for sure, Paige. I wish you guys the best of luck, and maybe you could give us a call next weekend and let us know how it went for you.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Appreciate the call, and good luck on the trip.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including more of your phone calls, more great information with Todd. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Sports Grid Radio Network in that Let's Talk Hookup app.
Wait, a 40-pound white sea bass off an inflatable Hobie kayak? Tell me about that.
I'm Logan from Fastlane Kayaks on Mission Bay, and the whole story began when Ron Lane let my parents some Hobie Mirage iTrex to put on their boat and take out to Catalina Island. That's when I borrowed the iTrex 11, threw it in my car, and drove down to Baja for a fishing and camping trip. Ended up landing a bucket list 40-pound white sea bass on this lake.
Dang, that sounds even better than our mammoth trip, when we packed up the kayaks in the car, snowboarded all morning, then drove down to the lakes, watched the iTrex, and fished for trout all afternoon.
Honestly, the iTrex inflatables are the ultimate fishing platform. From trout in the Sierras, calicos at Catalina, and white sea bass in the Sea of Cortez, they can do it all.
And we've documented all these trips, so check out Fastlane Kayaks on Instagram to see more. And if you think you want a kayak, but you're on the fence, come down to our shop, or right on Mission Bay, and we would be happy to throw one in the water and let you give it a try. So call Fastlane Kayaks to schedule a demo today.
Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena is the place to fill up your car, truck, and boat with the lowest gas and diesel prices. Did you know Summit is also the place to get the lowest prices on gourmet ice and snacks for your trip? $3.99 for 25 pounds of ice, as many as you want. That's half the price of others. Plus, you get 100 pounds of ice free with a 30-gallon fill. Kirkland products at lower prices than the store that makes them. Plus, dozens of great snacks for just 89 cents. They can now accommodate 24 cars and trucks to fuel at the same time. Plus, 12 diesel pumps. Easy in and outs, too. Step into the Summit Bistro and enjoy what Martha and her crew have for you. Fresh-made burritos, sandwiches, salad, along with beer, beverages, and, of course, always free ice. Summit Gasoline, low prices, friendly staff, free ice, and easy in and out with your boat and trailer at the San Diego Sports Arena.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year, and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
Whether you're boating, floating, paddling, fishing, or just chilling, remember a good day on the water always starts with everyone wearing life jackets. Save the ones you love. Life jackets save lives. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
This is Bob Hoots at Coach's Sunglasses. Visual signs are a critical part of my fishing program, from bay bass to bluefin. I wear Coach's to see what's out there. Coach's are built with advanced polarization technology with our 580 lens, designed to cut through the sun's glare while providing enhanced color to see more fish. Coach's was founded by a group of anglers wanting a high-performance lens for every fishing application. Coach's has a West Coast-style frame and lens for your adventures. Coach'sSunglasses.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. We're having a great time here this morning talking all kinds of great fishing, great info. Again, it's been a busy morning on the phones and on the text. If you want to get through, talk to Todd, you've got questions, again, give us a call at 213-432-1090. That's the phone number. Or keep those texts coming along on that Let's Talk Hookup app.
Yeah, you can see that it's pretty quiet on the landings. I've got the outdoor camera on our YouTube and Facebook Live. I want to thank all the people for tuning in on YouTube, Facebook Live. Of course, tuning in on 1090 AM. Of course, too, and of course on the Sports Grid Radio Network and our Let's Talk Hookup app. So a lot of different places you can see Let's Talk Hookup. And you have a great text, huh?
I thought so. It says, good morning, guys. What a fun show today. Todd, I have a question. Have you ever done any investigations on any sport boats or any popular boats that some of us might remember? That's from Jeff in Huntington Beach.
Absolutely, Jeff. Thanks for that question. I've done a lot of investigation on various sport boats, depending on, you know, what the problems are. But there's one I refer to in the book. The Sundown was a favorite case of mine that went down just south of Rosarito. The boat grounded in the middle of the night, and we had to go down and take a crew down to Mexico and fight the surf and the salvors and the locals and try to figure out how to get this boat off the beach. You know, it's not easy when you go up on a king.
Is that the one that's in the book?
That's the one that's in the
book.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Fascinating story.
When you go aground.
A lot of bribes, a lot of, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of grease, palm greasing that has to go on to get things done in certain areas. But that was a pretty interesting deal because we had to bring, I brought a crew down from Knight and Carver. And I called my friend Hugo Carver and said, I need some help. And I called Rob Butler from Vessel Assist at the time. And my friend Ted Griffith, who owned some tugboats at the time.
Yeah.
And
Ted owns Pearson's Fuel, too.
He owns Pearson's Fuel, good friend of mine.
Yeah.
We've had great adventures that are all in the book. And but you know, the problem with that boat was, here it is, they go up on a king tide, high tide, go ground sideways in the surf. At low tide, we've still got 2 feet of water around the boat.
Shoot.
So how do you get the thing out of there? So what we wound up doing was putting a swimmer in the water with a pneumatic saw and a generator up the beach, and he had to cut the shafts and the struts out of the bottom of the boat, and then we had to plug the holes and try to pull them off with some tugboats.
Wow.
And, of course, Rob Butler brought his two boats down, and I said, you know, Rob, with all due respect, I don't think you're going to have enough horsepower to pull this thing.
Juice.
So we called Ted. And about the time we were done cutting everything off, pruning off the running gear, Ted shows up with his tugboat right at sundown, appropriate for the boat.
Right. Nice.
So we pulled the whole thing off, you know, in little lurches, and every big cheer went up. But
floated.
The funny thing was, pruning the running gear off, there was a guy under the boat, you know, with the saw, and we had a generator going. So as the tide started to come in, we had another guy on surf watch that would yell, incoming!
Yeah.
And then you'd have to unplug the
110, right?
Yeah.
You're sitting in the water.
Exactly.
It was successful.
Well, kind of successful. Well, you got it off the beach, and everybody was cheering as it kind of went out. We had airbags around it. And as the sun was going down, the sundown got lower and lower in the water and flooded down to deck level.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So,
did it ever make it to San Diego?
Yeah,
it did.
Yeah, we brought it into San Diego Harbor. Added some more lift bags, got a hold of the old Kettenberg yard, had a synchro lift at the time.
Uh-huh.
and put them on notice, towed it right into the sinker lift and lifted it out of the water.
Wow. Get out of here.
Yeah.
What a story.
Yeah. That's like some of the stories that are in the book, Rocking the Boat. You got to check it out. Scott Sherman's online. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good show. I love the topic, being in the business here.
That's right. Insurance man.
Yeah, two things. Todd mentioned don't just buy on price. I can't tell you how important that is. So many guys go online and buy on price and then find out later the hard way that the coverage they thought they had is not there. So if you're going to be shopping, find an agent who knows the business and knows what the policies cover. And then I had a question for Todd. Is what is the most egregious case of fraud you've ever seen? In my 34 years, I've seen a couple of them that were pretty egregious, and I would just want to know what a claims adjuster has seen.
Gosh, you know, the list is really long.
Yeah, read the book, man, because it's like some of that stuff will blow your mind.
I mean, it's a long list. There are a couple of stories in the book that are some of the better ones. Probably the most egregious and the most dangerous was a claim that we got on a reported stolen boat. It was an 85-footer up in San Francisco. And this fellow, the insured, had reported it stolen, so we were hired to do a wanted poster on it. So we did our wanted poster and sent it out, and almost immediately the phone rang, and it was the California Department of Insurance investigators. And he says, we need to meet in San Francisco tomorrow morning. So I called my principal at the insurance company, and I said, Dan, he says, I just got the same call. And he's on the East Coast. He's in New Jersey at the time. So he flew across the country. I flew up to San Francisco, and we went to this Holiday Inn to meet these insurance investigators. And the long and the short of the story is that the owner of the boat was the head of the Chinese triad in San Francisco.
Oh, my.
And they had gotten a tip from the captain of the boat, who said that the owner wanted him to sink the boat so he could collect the insurance money. And he didn't want to lose his license.
Yeah.
Fortunately, he called somebody. They got the Department of Insurance hooked into it early on. So we wound up, Dan and I wound up going to San Francisco to meet the owner of the boat at his compound.
Uh-huh.
And I knew I was in trouble. We rolled up to this 15-foot concrete thing with barbed wire around the top of it, and we walk, you know, there are guards at the gate.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had to get buzzed in, and we get into the building. And as we're walking down the hall to this fellow's office, I couldn't help but notice that hanging on the wall were pictures of him shaking hands with Ronald Reagan and with Jerry Brown and with all of these politicians. You know.
So now did he get the money?
No.
No.
So what happened, long story, but what happened was that Dan, who was the insurance adjuster, said, you know, we're going to get him to sign a proof of loss, which is standard in the industry.
Right.
So we sat across the desk from this fellow, and Dan very calmly and quietly said, you know, we need this proof of loss notarized. You know, we need to go to maybe your bank and have it notarized. So we drove down the street to his bank, and Dan positioned the chair so it was right in front of the camera.
Uh-huh.
And got the guy to sign the proof of loss.
Yeah.
And we hot-footed it out of Dodge. Both of us were scared to death.
Yeah.
About 2 weeks later, we get a call from the Department of Insurance investigator, and he says, we got the arrest. And they went and they arrested 15 people and scooped up like 15 stolen cars with HIN switches and what have you. The boat, it turns out, because they were tipped off by the captain drove the boat out under the San Francisco Bridge at dusk so the owner can confirm that it was going out to be sunk.
Yeah.
After dark, the Coast Guard pulled alongside with two cutters, sandwiched it between the two cutters, and drove it up to Richmond and hauled it out of the water and put it in the shed. Put it in the building.
So he made the claim, and the boat was still floating.
Exactly. They had seized the boat.
Yeah.
He perfected the claim.
And how much was the claim for?
Oh, it was close to $1 million.
Wow.
Maybe over $1 million.
It's a good story.
Hey, Sherm, thanks a lot for the call.
call.
El Chingon is on the line. Good morning, El Chingon.
Hey, how you doing, Pete?
Of course, Jeff Conrad, a.k.a. Jeff Conrad, El Chingon, has a show here on 1090 AM every Monday through Friday. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we're happy to be on 1090, and we're on Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 in the morning, okay? And then we come back at noon till 7, you know, so in the afternoon and the early evening.
7 to 9 in the morning, and then noon to...
Noon to 7 o'clock, unless I fall asleep before then. Then I'm gonna, you know.
But you have a lot going on, and it's an oldies show, right? And it's great music, right?
Yeah. But most of the music we play is from the 60s and the 70s. And what's interesting, Pete, is there's about 70 radio stations in Southern California between, you know, Los Angeles and San Diego area. And nobody really plays this music. And so I've always loved the music. I grew up in the 60s. I was in high school and then went to college, University of Wisconsin, and I was a DJ back in Wisconsin. And so this is kind of my music. When I went to high school, that's the stuff I listened to. We play a lot of the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, Motown, the Temptations, and the list goes on and on and on. But it's great music, and people love it, you know, and we're getting great response and getting a ton of publicity for 1090, which helps the station and helps your show and everybody.
Absolutely. And of course, 1090 AM goes all over the place, all over Southern California, so you can hear it from in Baja to Morro Bay, all the way up and down the coast. Yeah. Now, the other interesting thing is you brought back some of the old-time DJs from L.A. And Southern California rock, right?
Yeah, nobody's really ever done this on radio. I mean, stations have played oldies before, but they've never, you know, we have, like, the music legends of the music is like legendary, and the DJs are legendary. For example, and most of them are dead. I'm one of the few people on the station that is alive.
Elgin still is around. Yeah,
I'm still around, but I'm getting old, so who knows for how long, you know. But anyway, but in the morning from 7 to 9, our morning show is Charlie Tuna. Charlie was a big DJ in L.A. and on KHJ for probably 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
And so he does the mornings. Then from noon to 2, we have a guy named M.G. Kelly, who was also a KHJ DJ. From 2 to 3, it's me, El Chingon. I get in there for 1 hour. From 3 to 5, it's the real Don Steele. Again, a guy who worked KHJ, KRLA, one of the best, most famous DJs back of that era. So he's on from 3 to 5. And then after Real Don Steele from 5 to 7, it's Wolfman Jack. And what's crazy, Pete, is back, I think 50 or 60 years ago, Wolfman Jack worked on 1090. He worked on the same station.
Yeah, absolutely,
so,
yeah.
So
back in the
it's
day.
It's like kind of bringing back the past.
How are you bringing back these DJs that are dead? First of all, is it AI?
Well, you got to start with a shovel. You got to go to the cemetery. No, I'm kidding. Actually, the way we do it is this. Most of those people have tons of shows that they've done on tape, okay? For example, Wolfman Jack has like 4,000 hours of tape shows from his career. So what we had to do is, and most of these shows have an estate. They have usually it's family or something who controls, you know, things, so even though they're passed away, they still have an estate. They're still, you know, promoting their shows. They're selling Wolfman Jack T-shirts, coffee cups, whatever. It's still a viable business, and it brings money in usually for the family. So we had to go to the estates of Wolfman Jack, the estate of Real Don Steele, and talk to them. Usually it was their kids, and throw them our idea and see if they would come on board with it. And we've gotten great response. They love it.
Oh, it's fantastic. I listen on 1090. It's like a blast from the past and great music, too, with these legendary. I'm sure you're old enough, Todd, to remember these guys, right?
I remember Wolfman Jack.
Oh, who doesn't?
Sure.
Yeah. Legendary DJ. So once again, El Chingon, what time? 1090 a.m. Okay is the place, Monday through Friday. And give us the rundown on the times and who's on it.
Okay, well, again, six to, our morning show, 7 to 9, Charlie Tuna. Our midday show, noon to 2, with M.G. Kelly. 2 to 5, it's our afternoon show with the real Don Steele. And from 5 to 7, it's the one and only Wolfman Jack. And I've got two other DJs I'm working on, but I want to keep their name a secret till I release it. But there are two other people that may be joining us in the next 3, 4, 5 weeks, and they are legendary in Southern California and Los Angeles.
That's cool.
So, so the lineup is getting bigger and bigger.
Great idea. Mark is Mr. Creative. I've known Mark for 40-plus years. He was in the radio business back when I was working at the radio station in Carlsbad as sales manager. And Mark and I became friends back there, and he's always got this creative brain that's unbelievable. But Mark, or excuse me, El Chingon, as he goes on the air.
Hey, Pete, I got 28 aliases, so any name you say, I will.
Like a lot of them, yeah, for sure. All right, El Chingon, which of course means the great one in Spanish, right?
Not exactly, but it's close.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks. All right, thanks, Mark. Appreciate that very much.
Keep up the good work. And by the way, I play a lot of oldies that have to do with fishing. So if you're into fishing, listen to our show, and you might hear some stuff that you like.
There you go. All right, great to hear from you. I appreciate the call this morning at 10:90 a.m.
Hey, when we come back, we got another full hour of Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on 10:90 a.m. Also on that Let's Talk Hookup app, the Sports Grid Radio Network. We're checking in with catch reports. We're going to find out what's biting up and down the beach. More phone calls and texts for sure. You stay tuned. Another great hour coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app and that Sports Grid Radio Network.
I've had the opportunity to fish many places in many different types of water, but never have I fished a place as much fun as Katmai Lodge in Alaska. Hello, my name is Harold Davis, typically fishing in the ocean, but this is an experience that you have to try for yourself. Fish natural rivers with tens of thousands of fish coming up. And they have all the gear. Spinning, bait casting, fly rods, kings, silvers, pinks, sockeyes, and my favorite, the chums. Outstanding food, outstanding accommodations, great service. The lodge is located in the beautiful Katmai National Park, filled with amazing wildlife. Brown bears, moose, eagles, otters, and it has spectacular scenery. And also the fact that the lodge is located right on the Alagnac River and your boat is just steps away from your room makes it great. Do yourself a favor, call Charmel at 1-800-330-0326 or go online katmai.com. And like Pete says, they will hook you up.
The best just got better. Shimano is proud to introduce the all-new Talica 20A and 25A reels. The Talica series is Shimano's flagship two-speed lever drag reel. It sits at the very pinnacle of the offshore world. The Shimano's Talica success is driven by its durability and spec attributes, allowing the series to differentiate from other lever drag reels within the market. The Talica is built around a cold forge machined aluminum one-piece frame. The all-new Talica 20A and 25A now boasts Infinity Drive. Infinity Drive employs two drag washers housed in the side of the reel, allowing for an ultra-smooth, powerful drag system while at the same time increasing winding power under a load as much as 40%. There's also a new lower low gear. If your utmost concern is performance without compromise, Talica 20A and 25A are the reels for you. Available now at your local Shimano dealer.
The lighter the bite and the cleaner the water means one thing. We need a thinner leader, more natural presentations. That's where Seaguar Gold Label leader material shines. It's Seaguar's thinnest leader material yet. That means it's even less visible underwater and creates more natural presentations, better catch rates on leader-shy fish. With exceptional knot and tensile strength, this advanced leader material is now available from 2-pound test for fishing trout in the Sierra to 80-pound test for big yellowfin in Guadalupe. Get Seaguar Gold Label at your favorite tackle dealer or learn more at Seaguar.com.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
seasoned long-range fishermen know that the Red Rooster 3 is the finest fishing vessels in terms of technology, design, speed, comfort, and safety. This 105-foot sport fishing yacht meets every demand for comfort while delivering an unforgettable fishing vacation. Captain Andy Cates and crew are experienced, friendly, and sincere in their desire to help you have the trip of a lifetime. Book a trip on the Red Rooster 3 and you'll be back. Trips go fast. So check RedRooster3.com or call Lee Palm Sport Fisheries at 619-224-3857.